to all points unknown. You are tuned in to the broadcast of Outpost 127, sending out an encouraging message on these airwaves to you, the sojourner, the misfit, and the wanderer, standing firm, side by side, for the faith of the gospel.
Cooking a meal for her family at 8 years old, Shara Galbraith found that the kitchen was her happy place as a shy child. Today, it has become a laboratory where Shara creates artistry in the kitchen. This was such a fun interview with Shara as we really dive into the ability that God has given her as a cook, as a baker, as an artist. Shara is a mom of three girls, and her husband Matt have been really great friends of mine for a number of years. So enjoy this Outpost 127 story with Shara Galbraith. Hey, Shara, how are you this evening?
I am good, thank you.
Good. Well, welcome into the Outpost. Your first time here.
Yes, tonight. It is.
I know you came in. You're like a lot of people that come in and they're just looking around at all the, I don't know if we want to call it junk or fun.
Oh,
or what.
It's not junk. It's pretty fascinating in here.
Yeah, okay, good. Stimulating, right?
Stimulating. Yeah. Lots to take in.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's what I want it to be, and that's what I've been working on. So, well, thanks for agreeing to come in and do this conversation. I've been wanting to have you in for a while. I've actually got a list of people, and you've been on my list for a pretty good while, and things just hadn't, I always kind of just wait for God to kind of prompt me in terms of what guests and kind of the order and who's going to come and here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. So I'm very happy that you're here tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
We're just going to have a conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So if you could start tonight, just tell us a little more about yourself so that everybody who's listening kind of gets to know you a little bit more.
Okay. I am quote unquote stay at home mom of three girls. I homeschool them, and I am starting my 18th year of homeschooling. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I only have one daughter left in school.
How's that feel? Two more years.
And my husband and I just celebrated our 25th anniversary. So that's an accomplishment.
Amazing. Yep.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I have an in-home baking business.
Okay. And we're going to get more into that.
Yes.
That's really what we're going to talk a whole lot about tonight.
Stay pretty busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, the three girls.
Three girls.
And so, Addie, the 2 more years.
2 more years for Addison. Yeah. She's a junior this year, so 16. And the other two have already graduated.
Yeah.
So,
fantastic.
There's light at the end of the tunnel with homeschooling.
It is strange, too. Well, it's just a different time in life, though, too, right? Because they grow up and then all of a sudden they get a job or they're starting to drive or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's this whole,
a
whole new kind of life circumstances.
You know, when I first started homeschooling, I wasn't expecting, I wasn't sure if I'd go all the way because we gave them the choice if they wanted to go to school or homeschooled. And when I think about, the 18th year, all the way with all of them. So
do you think that maybe, and I actually just thought about this, when the 2 years is over and you may have a little more free time, do you think you might be baking a little bit more?
I'm hoping. I would like to do baking full time. Right now, I can't do that because, schooling is a priority.
Sure.
So during the summer, sometimes I do a lot more.
Yeah.
Weddings are a lot in the summer.
Okay.
But I have to really be careful during the year how many orders I take. So, so once she's done, I really want to step that up more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for those listening, in case the last name Galbraith sounds familiar, that's because Matt has been one of our Outpost 127 interviewees way back. Actually, he was, I think, our first or second interviewee. Yes. So a number of years ago, but Matt and I are good friends, and I know you and your kids, and we've been friends for a number of years.
A long time.
Great. All right. Well, so we've been talking a little bit about baking and cooking and all of that. So when did you discover that you had a real gifting in the kitchen? Because you do have a real gifting in the kitchen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I there wasn't an aha moment or anything. It's, I do not remember a time in my life that I was not interested in it.
Okay.
In fact, I made my very first meal for my entire family when I was 8 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, I made chili all by myself. And I was 8 years old. So
was that like because you watched your mom?
Yeah, my mom. She was the best cook. Mm-hmm. I say what? She's still alive. Mm-hmm. But she's in her 70s. She doesn't cook as much anymore.
Okay.
And she was an amazing cook. And so I just kind of watched. I didn't help her a lot. I just kind of watched and just learned.
Yeah.
And I was interested in it. Mm-hmm. So, but she was not a baker. Okay. She didn't enjoy baking. She didn't like it. She didn't do it very often. Mm. So I was like, you know, how about you do the cooking and I'll do the baking.
Huh?
So, yeah. So that's kind of anytime friends came over, we would make cookies.
Okay.
Or we'd make whatever, you know, and I remember I was, I don't know, 11 or 12 and I made cream puffs.
Okay.
You know, and that's, you know, so, you know, it's just kind of, it's always been, you know, something that I've been interested in. You know, when you're little and, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up kind of thing? Mm-hmm, I wanted to be a chef or a caterer from the time I was tiny.
Okay.
You know, so it's always.
What, do you have a, like, why? What's so fascinating about being in the kitchen? Is there something about
it? It's my happy place.
Uh-huh,
okay. You know, I was a very, very painfully shy child.
Mm-hmm.
And it. Some people would be like, are you kidding me? You know, but if you're in my inner circle, you wouldn't see it, especially when I was younger, but painfully shy. And if I didn't trust you or I didn't know you really well, I wouldn't talk to you. I couldn't even order my own food like at Dairy Queen.
Okay.
I'd be like, can I have, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but the kitchen, because I was a very insecure child and the kitchen though, I didn't feel that. And I felt like I had some kind of power in the kitchen. And it made me feel good in myself. And so that's just kind of, it was my happy place.
Yeah.
And I was happy there. And I got to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to try things that, you know, even my mom was like, I remember not necessarily baking. This is more cooking part. But I was young, I'm early teens, and I was making gravy for the first time and I got it on the first try, perfection, on the first try. And my mom was just like, excuse me. She said, it took me like 4 tries my first time making gravy. So in that kind of thing, you know, so then I was like, wow, I can do this. I mean, you know, it was just a comfort for me.
Sure. Does it seem to come natural for you or is it something you have to look at cookbooks or anything of that nature?
I do use cookbooks and I do use recipes, but rarely do I stick to it. I almost 98% of the time will tweak it somehow.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, you know what? I think it tastes better with this or let's switch this up. So I do use recipes, but I kind of do my own thing too. And even back then, it came naturally to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have any, it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard to me.
Yeah.
It just was like, you know, some people are good with math, you know, and this just clicked. And I'm like, oh, well I can do that.
Sure.
And at 8 years old, I'm cooking for my family.
You're making chili for the whole family. And then later, what'd you say? Cream puffs or
cream puffs.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, I forgot to mention the guest that came tonight that brought a whole box of cupcakes. I don't know that my family's going to actually see very many of them.
No,
I have to because there's a lot.
There you go.
There's
a dozen.
I love though that you said that the kitchen was kind of your creative space. Mm-hmm. It was kind of your safe space.
It was my laboratory. You know?
Okay.
Because I got to create.
Mm.
And, you know, I made, again, when I was young, I'm like, I made my own Thousand Island dressing. I'm like, you know what?
Huh.
I wonder if I could make that myself. And I just threw stuff together and it tasted just like thousand, you know, so it was my laboratory.
Yeah. Does that, does that translate to anything else kind of in your life? In other words, you know, are you crafty or are you anything like that? Or is it the kitchen is your,
the kitchen is my, I like to do crafts, but I'm not comfortable doing crafts per se. I mean, it depends. I can draw and I can paint somewhat, but that kind of goes into my cake decorating as well, using that kind of thing. But no, it's mostly my creativity is in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, and I can 100% vouch for the creativity, both in taste, but also in what I would call artistry.
Right.
And you know, we're going to talk more about that. But so for most of your life, you're cooking for your family.
Yes.
You're learning and friends.
When they would come over.
And so it's kind of a labor of love. It's something, yes, a hobby, something you really love to do. And then all of a sudden, at some point, there's this sort of shift over to Shara's Shara's Sweets and Things. So how did that transition happen, or why did you make that transition?
Good question. Mm. I fought it for years and years and years and years and years. And well, to start off, when I was a teenager, my parents met a couple. My dad worked for the husband, and the wife had a cake decorating business. And we were over to her house one day, and I was like, "Did you make that? Mm. Wow." And she's like, yeah. I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, well, just come over. She kind of took me under her wing, mm-hmm, and just kind of, I was only there maybe a couple times, and she let me watch. And then the rest I was self-taught, but it opened up this cake decorate. 'Cause before I wasn't a cake decorator or anything. I just baked or cooked. And, I was like, whoa, yeah. It just was like a light bulb thing. It was like, I want to do that. I need to figure out how to do that. That is amazing. Mm. And that is something I want to learn. I have to learn. It was like a need in me.
Yeah.
So, I was still living in Kansas then, moved when I was 19 to San Antonio.
Okay.
And it kind of fell on the back burner. 'Cause I just moved here. I was young and, but baking helped me to meet people. Mm. Like when I was going to a church, I would make bread and bring it like on Sunday mornings to Sunday school. And it slowly started, 'cause I was still pretty shy, you know, reserved. Yeah. At this point, I wasn't more shy. I was more kind of reserved. Are they going to like me? Or are they not going to, just, you know, insecure in myself. And then I would bake and bring it in for Sunday school. Hey, who made this? Hey. And then from there it went to, hey, do you think you can make some cookies for whatever? Uh-huh. And then that went on for years. And then Matt and I married. And of course he's like my biggest supporter ever, you know, and your
customer.
He's my customer.
Number one customer.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it got to where, you know, I worked at a church and was on staff, and I would make stuff for there. And then one day, one of the other workers was like, I'm getting married. Can you make my wedding cake? I was like, no.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure, right?
A lot of pressure. Yeah. I was like, And I was like, okay. And then I did. And then somebody else wanted another cake and wanted another cake and wanted another cake. And it just slowly, you know, word of mouth, how things work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was more often and more often. And I was like, wow, what is going on? And Matt from the first wedding cake, he's like, you should start a business. Huh. I'm like, no, because I was like, I'm not good enough. I mean, you know, you have your doubts. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not a professional. This is a hobby, you know. And then I was asked to go to Fort Worth to do a wedding cake. And then when I was there, I had the groom's cake and a wedding cake, and it was a carved truck groom's cake on a street and da da da. And somebody there was like, do you have business cards? I'm like, no, it's a hobby. It's a hobby. And Mal was like, I keep telling her. And so that is when I was like, well, maybe. Hmm. Maybe.
Yeah.
And then, of course.
About how long was that ago?
Oh, man, that was 15 years ago, probably. Oh, okay. At least. Okay. A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it took another 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, before, I mean, I was baking and making money with it and doing stuff, but I didn't have a name for my business. Uh-huh. And I didn't actually have a business thing, you know, and finally Matt kept saying, honey, you're good. Yeah. You need to do this. And then other people, friends, you know, my in-laws and, you know, they're, you really need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then I, you know, of course I'm like, God, can I,
yeah.
Is this, cause I was like, in my head, I was a hobby. I wasn't a professional.
What was your fear? What was your
people about? Like people paying a lot of money for something and not liking it, or I wasn't quite up to par with a certain skill and not being able to do it. Because if it's an actual business, you'd be surprised what people expect you to be able to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And sometimes you just, there are some things that I'm just like, I haven't perfected that. Some things I just am not good at, right. And I'm honest about that, you know? So finally, I don't know, 9 years ago, it was right after we moved into our house.
Okay.
It was right after that.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, finally, I'm like, okay. Cause Matt again was like, I think I had booked another wedding or something. He's like, do this.
Yeah.
Cause, a customer was like, it was a big order of like cupcakes or cookies or something. I can't remember. And she was going to an event and she's like, do you have business cards? I'm like, I don't. And Matt was like, see, I think it is mighty shaking me. Like, and I'm like, okay. And you know, I'd been praying about it and I know God was saying, hello, what more do you, I mean, I keep sending people to you, you know, what more do you need, you know? And so I was like, okay, so we need a name because I didn't have a name for it and got named it, got business cards, got registered with the cottage law because you have to be registered through cottage law to be able to sell.
Oh, okay.
And then that's
where you got it to.
Yeah, so I was able to give out business cards then. I was already doing the business, but it wasn't named and it wasn't. Yeah. And then, it's funny because, you know, God's amazing because as soon as that happened, more people, my word of mouth, it just kind of spread. Yeah. So
when you created a Facebook page,
I did create a Facebook business page as well. Yes. Yeah.
So people started really seeing the work that you were doing. Yeah. So two things that just kind of came to mind. Hopefully I remember both of them.
Okay.
the first one is that, were you, so since the kitchen was sort of your safe place, were you ever fearful that if the cakes didn't turn out right, that would then sort of maybe infect or bother your safe space and create something for you?
It's sort of in a way. Yeah. One of my big fears, honestly, in starting a business and doing more was, first of all, confidence, but also since it was my happy place, would I get burnt out? Would I stop enjoying it?
Yeah.
Would I want to not be in the kitchen? If you're in there all the time, do you not want to be in there? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so now as I got older and with children and of course my husband, who's amazing, I didn't have quite the reserve and shyness. And it, I mean, yes, the happy place was my kitchen still, but my family is my happy place too.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, you know, in life things change. You know, you progress and other things become important too. And yes. And so I still find comfort in the kitchen, but it wasn't all
your comfort,
right?
The way
right.
it was
Does that
before.
Make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that completely makes sense. I had a thought while I was sitting here and it's like an epiphany and I don't know, I'm sure it's a God. It's just a God prompting, but something I've never actually thought about before. Until this moment, was you're actually an artist.
Mm.
So like, I know we're going to talk about you being a baker and working in the kitchen, but artists have a different demeanor to them. They have a different way about them.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I've ever really thought about you like that until this minute, because I'm listening to you talking about your laboratory, talking about the creativity. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, like you're an artist.
Right.
And by the way, artists, a lot of times tend to be introspective, tend to be kind of shy.
Right.
Right. Have you seen yourself like that before, or is it just me?
No, I have. Absolutely. Yeah. I have to an extent. I absolutely have. And because there are times where, like, when I'm in the moment and doing a cake or doing the cookies or, you know, being creative, I don't necessarily see it. But then I'll go back and see pictures. I'm like, wow, how'd I do that?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, before I made whatever, I probably thought, I don't know that I could do that. That might be out of my skill set. But then you do it, and that's where the artistry comes in.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, I created something that's kind of cool.
I mean, it is, and I'm hoping to be able to publish some of your pictures and link this to the Facebook page, and so people can see it. But it's so hard to sit here and talk about this stuff without people seeing it. I had a painter, a friend of mine, that was one of our interviews interviews ago, and we were talking about his artistry,
right.
And it was hard to talk about it without actually seeing the pieces. And I kept saying, you're going to have to go see the pieces to understand what we're talking about, right? And I say the same thing about Sherritt. Like, you've got to see her artistry, her cupcakes, her cakes. Like, sometimes when you post a cake on Facebook on your page, I can't believe it's a real cake. I mean, it's just so unbelievable. Do you look back on, like, your first cake that you did and go, whoa?
Absolutely. It's so funny because I'm like, oh, if I knew then what, if I, you know, like the skill, oh, I certainly would have done that a lot different, you know?
Yeah.
So it's actually gratifying to go back and look at some of my earlier stuff. And then, you know, it part of me cringes.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, goodness. And they actually liked that. I liked that at the time, you know, but, and then now, it's kind of gratifying to see the progression and where, you know, the practice,
growth.
You know, and the growth. Absolutely. And another part of me is like,
yeah, yikes. But you're still learning.
Absolutely true.
Are you learning from others? Are you still just kind of experimenting?
I am 99.9% self-taught. I shouldn't say that. I will watch YouTube, sometimes, but most of the time I'll just look at a picture of something and not watch how it's made, but I'll look at a picture. I'm like, I wonder how they did that. Let me see if I can figure this out. And I teach myself, because if I'm watching a YouTube video, I have to do it. I'm hands on.
Yeah.
And I learn better with practicing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And watching it, I'm like, yeah, okay. But I have to be able. And so with me, I prefer to look at something. I'm like, I like that, but I'd rather it have this or this than just do it.
So somebody can bring they can, like, say, I want, a truck.
Right.
Right. And they can bring a picture to you and just say, here's my truck. And I'd like for you to recreate it in a cake.
Sort of. And I will say that is one of my weak areas is carved cakes. Now, I did it for the wedding and it turned out fine, but it was made out of Rice Krispie treats, so it's a lot different.
Okay.
Yum. right. It completely, like, most of the time people will send me ideas of, like, whatever the cake or cookies or whatever, and if it's somebody else's work, I can't duplicate it exactly. I have to, you know, it's a copyright thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's a just being considerate.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, somebody else's work. You don't want to do exactly, you know.
Gotcha.
But that's what I love, because I love to take it and interpret it my own way.
Yeah.
And I always have to tell the customers, I can do similar, you know, but it'll have my own spin on it.
And again, there's that artistry.
Right.
I interpret it
yes.
my own way.
Right.
Wow. Like that has completely changed my mindset. Sharon. I've known you all these years
right.
and all of a sudden I'm thinking in a completely different way.
Yeah.
So for somebody who is listening right now, who is maybe kind of struggling with self-doubt, and they're thinking to themselves, I don't know that I can do this kind of where you were, maybe even where you are at some,
I still struggle.
Yeah. What would you say to them?
Oh boy. That is really tough area for me. Cause I still struggle. Mm-hmm. But I say, you know what, first of all, honestly, the only reason that I'm doing what I'm doing is the support of my family, my husband, especially, and my kids, but prayer really. Mm. I mean, there are times where I'm like, okay, either I didn't feel like doing something, but I had to, cause I already booked it, or, I didn't have confidence. And I'm like, okay, you just got to take over because I can't do this. This is you, God, you know. And then it turns out, and and that helps the confidence, right? But so as far as if you don't have the confidence in yourself, surround yourself first of all with somebody or somebodies, multiple, who are going to encourage you, and not necessarily tell you how to do it, or because I mean, if they're not gifted, they're not gifted in that area, right?
Sure.
But just even if they're just sitting there, and you know, there have been times where I've cried, I was so frustrated, and Matt will just hug me. He won't say anything because he can't do it, right?
Yeah,
he can't help in that area. And he'll just hug me and he'll pray, and then he'll just leave me. Because he knows also, that's the artist in me too. Is like, okay, now back, leave me alone.
Please
just leave me. Yeah.
This is my art piece.
This is my, I need to focus and I can't have distractions. But I did need that hug and I did need that prayer, right? But also something that has helped me greatly, and I encourage anybody, whether it's baking or cooking or art or music or whatever it is, what I do is I keep a folder in my phone of pictures of things that I was extremely proud of that I didn't think I could do.
Huh.
And when I'm frustrated or discouraged, or I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do it, or am I good enough? Open up that folder. And you're like, I did that. I was good enough. God gave me that talent. God gave me the ability to do that.
Yeah.
I can do this. So that's something that has been helpful to me. And that's funny because nobody knows that. Nobody knows that until now.
But you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's really good. That's a good, well, that for any of us.
Yeah.
And we all struggle and we all doubt.
Yes.
And so you're right. That's a good idea to be able to look back on the work that you've done and know that God has provided before, right?
He'll absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, we all go through it. We all have doubts in ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And it's what you do with those doubts, whether you let them affect the outcome of whatever you're doing, or if you like, no, God, you've got this, you've got me, let's do this. Let's do this.
I really, really appreciate Shara's honest admission about her doubt and struggles with moving a business forward, even when everyone around her could see her incredible God-given talents. I think doubt and fear of failure and letting others down, it's definitely something we can all relate to. But listen now to what opportunities God began giving Shara when she said yes and made herself available to Him.
Okay, so Shara, how would you say that your ability in the kitchen is also a form of your mission and your ministry?
Right. Being a baker and a cook has opened up the doors for some interesting and fun activities that I've been able to be a part of. One of them is a ministry for new mothers where you organize meals and take meals and going and sitting with them and praying with them. And sometimes just holding the baby so that she can rest. And sometimes it's first time mom. Sometimes it's, you know, fifth time mom or second time mom, whatever. So that is something that was very, it excited me. Mm. It was something fun and something that I really felt I was helping. Mm. So that's one avenue that this has helped. And then I was asked to come and teach in a Christian homeschool co-op, teached cake decorating for a group of girls. That's probably the most fun I have ever had in my life. Wow. When it comes to this.
Wow.
It was in a whole semester. Every week I was able to come and not only teach something that I'm passionate about, but watch them when they were able to get a skill. I'm like, oh wow, that's great. But in also during that time, they asked questions and I got to kind of give my testimony through just, you know, just conversation while we're doing it. So, and I still get messages.
Wow.
From a couple of those girls. Wow. They're like, look what I made, Miss Cheryl.
Wow.
You know, wow. And I'm like, wow. And I even got a message from one of the girls' moms thanking me because she made, you know, a birthday cake and she was so proud of herself. So that's just, I mean, that's God right there. God at work, you know, being able to use my
gift. Did you ever think that? Like making chili at eight, that there could be, you know, mission and ministry that was tied to this? Did you ever think about that?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, when I was young, I kind of wanted to be a chef and a caterer. So I had that kind of, but then when I'm telling you, as soon as I saw my mom's friend's cake, it was just like, this is, I have to do this. This is something I really need to do. And so, but even then, no, I would have never thought that I'd be invited to teach. And I have had other people ask, hey, are you gonna ever do a class? And that's something that I need to work up to now, trying to do that too. But again, with homeschooling, it's just kind of juggling things. And then I have another friend who I'm going to be teaching her daughter.
Wow.
Some cake decorating as well. Wow. So it's kind of that, you know. Another thing that was amazing and fun was I was invited by a middle school, a large middle school here in San Antonio, to be a judge for their cupcake wars.
That's fun.
And it was so much fun. So much fun. And just being able to talk with these young kids that some of them you could tell were interested, and they would come over because I brought some cupcakes to show, you know, this is kind of what I do. And so just being able, just snippets here and there, you know, them coming and talking to me. And I know it was a, you know, a school, it wasn't a Christian school, but I was like, well, yeah, God gave me this talent. And I was able, I'm like, hey, I'm going to say this, you know. It is a God-given talent, and he's the one who started it all for me. So
just being available.
Just being available.
And using the giftings that God has given you to wherever, whenever there's an opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And think about how many weddings you've been a part of, right? How many, this is a wedding, right?
Yes.
This is their marriage, and you're
absolutely
part of that.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, and I use it too. I like to bless people. I like to bring some cupcakes just over just cause.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Like I said, I'm the recipient of that.
That's
so
right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I told Cheryl she's going to be our guest every month moving forward.
There you go. There you go. You know, and so just being able to use my gift in any way possible. I was contacted by, it hasn't been confirmed yet, we're playing phone tag, but this is something that's really amazing if it works out. I was contacted by a wedding venue coordinator, wedding venue. It's a business that asked me to be one of their, if I was interested in being one of their contacts for, and it's in Austin.
Okay. Oh, wow.
But they provide for everywhere, you know, so like in a big radius, but I still don't know how they got my name, but they contacted me and we're just kind of playing phone tag. So,
sure. That could be a really cool opportunity.
It could. It could. So
when people, I'm sure when people see your cakes, they have a reaction. They have like an amazing reaction.
Most of the time, yes.
I can only imagine because, like I said, I've some of the stuff I've seen you do. I just don't know how you do it. But so how does that make you feel when they've tasted it and it's good and they have this reaction?
My
to how you,
favorite thing in the world is when I get messages back with pictures, especially of the kids. You know, and there's a picture of the kids with their cake,
and like at a birthday party.
Okay. And they're like, they loved it. Mm. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's just the smiles and knowing that they liked it. Like today, I had a customer that ordered cookies last year or the year before, and she for her son, and now her daughter is having a birthday in a couple weeks, and she contacted me, just wanted a dozen. And then she messaged me later and she said, you know, my husband got home. I told him that I went ahead and ordered the cookies. And he's like, how many? Oh, just a dozen. He's like, no, that's not enough. They were so good. So they ordered more because they're like, those will go too fast. I won't get enough. You know, so I'm like, okay.
Gotta have them for ourselves, right?
Yeah. So just knowing that I had one customer who cried when she saw the cake.
Wow.
Because it was for her son's college graduation. He was a science major. And I was worried about the cake because it was DNA and his amoebas and all these weird things that I didn't know what they were. But she's very specific, very specific. So I, you know, did all these fondant things. And I'm like, I don't know if this is what this is supposed to look like. I don't know what, you know. And she got there and she looked at it and she stared at it and she didn't say anything. And then her son was there and he was just kind of smiling because I guess he knows his mom. And then she just cried. I'm like,
wow.
Is this a good cry? You know, I was like, because I didn't know what I was doing with this science cake. And she's like, no, you don't understand. She said, in the past, I've ordered lots of cakes from lots of different bakers and I'm very specific and I've been disappointed. You spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars throughout, you know, and I've been disappointed every time. And Sheila, you did exactly what I wanted. It was perfect. It's what I wanted. And she's like, I can't believe it. This is finally. So that right there was
that's
like,
amazing, Sheila.
That is one of the pictures I have in my encouragement folder.
Yeah.
Because I was like that feeling. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And she's ordered many times since. So
That's amazing. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
The reactions of people like that, wasn't expecting. But I could understand how something that they want it to be really special.
Right.
And you know, again, your artistry, I could see how that can make it really special for sure. So that's amazing. Has there been any close calls with anything? Like you've got a wedding and you're trying to like take the wedding cake and it's going to tip over or whatever.
You know, I've learned that I do not put the cake together until I'm at the venue.
Okay.
And always take a repair kit. Always. Now there was a time where I had a wedding and it was in Bernie. I think it was over an hour drive from where we live. And I completely forgot to put the dowels, the supports in the bottom tier.
Oh.
And I didn't bring them with me. I couldn't assemble it. And thankfully Matt, he went to Walmart, you know, and I'm like, okay. And that was very stressful because I'm like, oh, we can't go home. We don't have time to go home and come back. And anyway, we were able to do that. But I did have one cake that I set up the night before, a wedding cake, and somebody hit the table and it collapsed.
Oh no.
And the top, the cake topper, which was handmade flowers, sugar flowers, it just, and so the next morning the wedding coordinator called me and was like, I was like, thankfully, it was my sister-in-law.
Okay.
It was Jennifer and Scott's wedding.
Okay.
So it wasn't a big deal. So instead of having a four-tiered cake, she had two-tiered. Okay. And it was completely different, but it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that kind of thing. I have had cakes where the sides have fallen off on transport. That's why if you're delivering, you always take a repair kit. Always.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah.
So Outpost 127 exists to encourage, to kind of hear stories of, you know, all of us, and I'm going to do this in air quotes, ordinary Christ followers who have been given these extraordinary gifts by God. Mm-hmm. And we're using them for the gospel. We're putting them in ministry and in mission. And that's why Outpost 127 exists. It's to tell the stories of the people who are using their God-given gifts for the glory of the Lord. And you've just beautifully talked about your artistry and what you do as that. If there's somebody out there right now who's listening and they're thinking to themselves, you know, I have an ability. Maybe it is baking. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's decorating. Maybe it's whatever. And they're thinking to themselves, yeah, you know, but it's just not all that important. What, you know, not that important toward kingdom work, God's work,
right?
What would you say to them? What kind of encouragement might you give them, leave with them?
You know what? God wouldn't have given you that ability if it wasn't important, plain and simple. If he didn't have a reason for you to have that ability and a purpose for that and a way to use it for his glory, he wouldn't have given it to you. And so in, even though, I mean, like I said, I struggle with confidence all the time. But you know, I have an ability, right? I have a gift, but my neighbor doesn't.
Yeah,
but yet, you know, and so it doesn't have that, not they have an ability, but not the same as me.
Sure.
And so you never know. You really, just like the woman who cried, you don't know what kind of inspiration and joy and what your gift is going to do for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know what kind of seeds you're going to be planting. Just even if you don't ever mention God, if they go to your page or if they go to, you know,
that's great.
Yeah. You know, they will see it. Sometimes you yourself are the only Bible some people read or see, you know, and it's so you use what God gives you and just, you know, give back to the best of your ability. Right.
Yeah. I love that. It's so, so true. And I really wish everybody would see it that way and see that their abilities can bless other people.
It's not always easy to do that though.
Yeah. To see it.
No, it's not always to do it, to have that confidence.
And why? Why do you think it's hard?
For me, it was, no, I mean, it took a long time. It took years for me to like, you know what? You're right. You're right, God. And what I just said with you wouldn't have given this to me if you didn't want me to use it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it took many, many, many years to get there, but I am there now.
Yeah.
But,
amen.
And so it's a joy for me too.
Yeah.
Not just a joy for the people who are on the receiving end, but to be able to do that for them and to use my gifts that God's given me.
Well, and as somebody who is on the receiving end, I love that you said that because it will help me to recognize the joy you have in creating it. Right.
Like,
I know I've sort of jokingly said tonight about the cupcakes you brought and you did bring cupcakes, but I will look at them probably in a different way, before I, you know, gorge myself on them, of the artistry and the beauty and the fun and the joy that you had in creating those and bringing them as a gift here tonight. Right.
Yes.
And so I really, really appreciate that. I think there's a lot more story and love into the box now, especially hearing your story tonight. And so I really, really appreciate you sharing that. I'm hoping, I know it will absolutely encourage somebody who's listening, to this story to say, you know, I've been given a gift too, and maybe I doubt, but I can do that. I can do it as well.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to make sure that we link your Facebook page so that people can find you.
Right.
And also they can see the photos of the amazing work and the artistry that you've done. So I just want to thank you for being here, coming into the Outpost and just having this conversation. I know you were nervous and
I was,
and wasn't sure that we were going to even have enough to talk about, but I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I know we're going to have plenty to talk about. So thanks, Sharon.
Absolutely.
Love
you.
And just,
you.
So great to hear your story. And like I said, I've got a completely different mindset tonight towards you, and it's pretty cool. So thank you.
Absolutely. All thank right. you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. For sure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this recent broadcast about Post 127 with Shara Galbraith. And just a reminder that I have a monthly companion newsletter that I send out called The Dispatch. And if you would like to begin receiving it, please send me an email at inchrist01@yahoo.com. That's inchrist01@yahoo.com. And I'll be more than happy to begin sending that as an email each month. Thanks for listening, and I pray that it encourages you as you stand firm, side by side, for the faith of the gospel.